No. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, brother.
So, it is I am a preacher of the Word of God. And as to who here is a preacher that's of the Word of God? Is there anybody here? If you can understand my language. Yes. Is there anybody here that is a preacher of the Word of God?
Yeah. Almost all of us.
Okay. It's a preacher of the Word of God. He takes all of his preaching and he gets all of his preaching from the text of Scripture, from the page. He's a preacher of the Word. He's not a preacher of his own words. He's not a preacher of his own ideas. He's an expounder, an expander, an opening upper of the Word of God. That is the job of preaching. And that is what I'm comfortable doing. I'm not a spokesman. I'm not an orator. I'm not a lecturer. I'm not an organizer. I am a preacher of the Word of God. And the only thing I truly feel comfortable doing in this world as I'm up in front of people is opening up a text of Scripture. That's what I give my life unto. And so we're going to be seeing this in the Apostle Paul, but we're going to be seeing it out of this text in the book of John in chapter 1. And so if you have your Bible, I ask you to open it there and to leave it open. And we're going to expound Scriptures, and then we're going to be going into some other places in the Scriptures to support it and to understand more. And we're going to be asking questions and expecting answers. So if I ask a question, is I want an answer. Even if you're wrong, if you think that you're right, speak your answer and let's see what the Scripture says. Everything is based on Scripture. Not my ideas, not your ideas. I have absolutely nothing to add because I'm from California. Everything is in the Word of God that's in the text that's in your lap, right? It's the Word of God. It's the highest authority. So the Scripture says in the book of John 1, and we're going to be working through the book of John. In the beginning, it was the Word. As to who is this talking about? In the beginning was the Word. Who is this talking about?
Jesus.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, this is my first of my statements. the Word of God, whom we worship, is our Lord Jesus Christ, because He is God. Preaching, as we're going to see, is the preaching of Christ. It's not our ideas. It isn't the preaching of any other man. It isn't the preaching of our big G-O. It's the preaching of God's Son, the preaching of God, the preaching of the Word of God with a capital W, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is and was, He's equal as with God, and yet He's with God. It's the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He's equal with God, and He's with God. How do we explain this? Who can comprehend it? That the Almighty God, and I want you to hear me, is only one being. Hear, O Israel, on the Lord your God is one. And yet He is with God. And so there's two. And then you add in the Spirit, these three are one. What kind of a mathematic is three or one? How do we explain? He is God. He's equal with God. He is from everlasting. He's called in the book of Isaiah 9, the everlasting Father, the mighty God. Is unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. That's the Son of God. Equal with God from everlasting, but He's with God. How do we explain? How do we explain? First, is it true? Is it what the Scriptures teach? In Isaiah 9, let's just read that text which we've quoted. Is everyone clear on this? That it is Jesus Christ is actually God Almighty Himself. But He's not God the Father, even though He's called the Everlasting Father. It's because He is equal with the Father, is of the same essence as the Father, but He is with the Father. And that actual word means face to face. In eternity, He was beholding the face of God His Father. And He is called the Word of God. He is from everlasting. In Isaiah 9, verse number 6, for unto us a child is born. And we know who this is talking about. And unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon His shoulder. In His name it will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That is Jesus Christ. But He's not the Father. He said, I and my Father are one. But He didn't say that He and Him are the same. He's one in that He is actually one in purpose, in intent, in essence, in nature, in character. He is equal unto God His Father in every way in His pre-existent state. So in this sense, He is the everlasting Father, since it's only one God. But the text said He was with God. How do we explain it? Is it true that He is God?
Yes.
And so is it comprehensible? Who can understand it? Who can explain it? I've tried, but I'm only speaking what the text says. It's the words. This is my point, is that our brains can't comprehend the truth of the gospel that is set forward. And we have to subjugate our brains unto the Word of God. Because the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ is God. And the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ is man. And the problem is, if we try to explain it, but I reject this other truth, I've committed blasphemy. He is both God and man, even though I can't explain that, in only one person. And the scriptures speak this way all of the time. He is absolutely sovereign in the salvation of sinners, having chosen us from before the foundation of the world. And whosoever wills, let him come. Ask, seek, knock, call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. How do we explain that the Lord Jesus died for his elect and made an atonement and put away our sins forever by the sacrifice of himself? And yet he calls all men unto repentance. How do we understand that his grace is irresistible? All that the Father gives me shall come to me. Yet, in Acts chapter 7, our brother Stephen said, you always resist the Holy Spirit. How do we explain these things? It's not in our brains, my brothers. It's in what the scripture says. I am to stand up on my hind legs, just like you, and preach whatever is in the text, understanding that everything I say has to match and be in harmony with everything else that's in the Word of God. If I'm preaching on this one verse, and everything else in the scripture is in agreement except for only this one verse over here, the thing I'm saying is wrong. It has to be found in all the scriptures. It must match all of the scriptures. So get to know your Bibles. There is no excuse. There isn't any other way. If you're going to be a preacher of the word, you have to get to know your Bible to expand your thoughts and to expand your vocabulary. But the best thing to do, even with a limited knowledge of the entirety of the word, is preach that text in whatever it says. And preach every text in whatever it says. Be a textual preacher of the Word of God. Now, Jesus Christ is to be worshipped. He's the mighty God. The scripture says in the book of Hebrews 1, it's from Hebrews 1, verse number 6. If you ever deal with a Jehovah's Witness, I don't know if they have them here up in Kano, but the Jehovah's Witnesses have actually written their own Bible. It's a man who invented them. As he went, he took the scriptures in the English, and he rewrote it, and he added in Jehovah, and he took out a whole bunch of scriptures that prove that Jesus Christ is God. But this one in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1, is he overlooked. And it is as plain as day. Verse number 6. Anyone read that for me?
Verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world.
Who's that?
God.
Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
He says, and let all the angels of God worship him.
What does that mean?
He's God.
It means he's God. As when God says, is you worship him, and all worship is only for God. It's not for Mary. It's not for angels. It's not for saints. It's not for mom. It's not for dad. It's not for me or you. It's for God only. And when God says, let the angels, which are higher than man, you worship him, he's saying that this little baby is your creator. He pre-existed in his everlasting form in equality with God as spirit, as a spirit. And then he came into a body. His humanity, it came into place in time. It is not that Mary was sinless. All of us are born sinners except our Lord Jesus Christ. It is that his hand held back her sinfulness, and he begat in her by the Holy Spirit this holy thing, this holy one, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is both God and man at the same time. He is preexistent and created at the same time. He is the creator of the world and, yes, this little baby that's helpless at the same time. And it's mystery. It's mystery. And we don't preach the things I can understand. Well, I wouldn't be preaching anything. It's all by revelation. It's all a mystery. I show you a mystery. But we preach the things that God says. How do you see the difference? And that is what makes us an oracle of God. In the book of 1 Peter 4, what's an oracle of God? What's an oracle of God? It is one of the highest privileges on earth to be an oracle of God. I hope that some of you men will actually become an oracle of God. Even my sister, as you open the scriptures with children or other women or on the street or exhortation or in private, if you're speaking according unto scriptures, you're an oracle of God. An oracle of God. 1 Peter 4:11. That's what's it say?
1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God.
Okay, right there. If any man speak. That's what I was saying at the beginning. That preaching is the expositing, the exposition, the opening up and unfolding of God's word. It's not my dream. It's not my vision. It's not my feeling. It's not what I say. It's not my hunch. It's not what's in the newspaper. And the newspaper, it can be used as an illustration. But I'm an oracle of God. Now, in the South, as I was in Igbo land, is some Igbos here? Is some Igbos in here? I know you are here. None? Hope they come. Hi, welcome. But it's in the South here, And so I was ending some time in Port Harcourt, in Aquaibum, in Oweri, I'm in Calabar. It is my fourth year here in Nigeria. But unto my shock, as we went into Abo, that big, it's the big river. Ask, what's that river called? It's the Delta, right? That huge river. It's the people actually worship the water goddess, right? And even the Christians are scared of the water goddess, or they consult this watcher goddess. And so you have the priest of the watcher. And so a man or this woman would go, would spend all night in the water or, you know, on the shore, consulting with a water spirit. Then would come, and it's for money, of course. It's for power. Just like our false prophets now. That consult a spirit, that consult this medium, that hear this voice, and then they say, I claim to speak for God. Do you believe them? You believe them? I don't believe anybody is speaking for God unless they are an oracle of God through the Word of God. There are no tricks. There are no secrets. There is no hidden wisdom. It is all in front of your face and to be openly examined and looked at. Is that man teaching the truth? What did they do? They searched the scriptures to see if the thing that he was saying is so. The scriptures, the scriptures, the scriptures. So much of the mistreatment of men and women in churches, it would be ended if the church, as the pastor was preaching, would just read the next verse. It would explain as to what he's saying, if it's the truth or not. Is this man twisting scripture? What does it say in the context? It's not me taking a text and then I make it say anything I want it to say in order to get myself big pockets and big name, big papa. You hearing me? Yes. It's the scriptures are to be consulted, not the water spirit. Not my ear on the ground and I'm just going to wait for a feeling. Not I'm going to be up in the mountain and I'm going to wait to hear from God. The scriptures are how we hear from God. And so Peter said, we're going to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Right? Acts chapter 6. That is the job of the preacher. It's in Acts chapter number 6. And a brother can read that in verse 6. Yeah, Acts chapter 6, verse number 4 is the context. Is the early church was big. It was a problem with the ministration of the poor widows, as to the Greeks and the Gentiles were feeling left out of all the money, the attention was being given unto the Jews, and so the apostles organize the first of the deacons. But Acts chapter 6, verse number 4, as to what's it say?
And we give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word.
As a preacher. As a preacher. A preacher is a man addicted to the word of God. He is addicted unto prayer. And we're going to be seeing this more with the Apostle Paul. He is undevoted to it. He is committed to it. It's his life. Let me ask you a question. What is the greatest joy in your life? If you're a preacher, it's to hear from God. And the only thing that is greater is to speak and have these other people unto hear from God. The only thing that makes me happier than to be alone with God is to see somebody else rejoicing in Christ, in repentance, changed, happy through my ministry. And so Peter says, we're going to give ourselves. We don't have time to be doing this stuff, this, that, and the other. I'm not an organizer. I'm not a deacon. It's a similar gift, but I'm apt to teach. I am an addict for the word of God, the gospel. I pray to hear from God. And then my life is in this word and preaching and teaching this word. That's the gift he gave you, with a burning heart, a burning passion. It yields unto nothing else. It makes every sacrifice. This I must have. And as an oracle of God, my authority as I'm preaching is not my words. It's not myself. If it's only me, it's nothing. It means nothing. Just words, words, words. But if you know, and I know, that what I'm saying is what is in the Bible, it's the word of God, now it matters that every man would hear my voice. Now it matters that you believe and do it exactly like this, the right way. It matters. It comes with consequences, it comes with warnings, it comes with promises, it comes with joy, it comes with blessing, it comes with curses if it's disobeyed. It's the word of God, as if Adam heard him speak in the garden. It's that authoritative. Is that your preaching? Is that your teaching, you sisters here, as you minister with the children? Are you speaking it with authority of the word of God? It's not just you talking. It's not just some good advice. This came down from on high. And if it's properly opened and spoken, it's real. It's authoritative on your life and mine. And to be an oracle of God, it means I have to fear and tremble at the word. I hear it as the word of God. That's what makes us able to speak it as the word of God. It's a conviction inside the heart, isn't it? That's preaching with power. It's come unto you and changed you. It has made us obedient to it first, and then we speak it. But don't ever speak anything that you're not going to obey yourself. It's not just a theory. It's not just a speech. It isn't just a sermon. It isn't just playing religion. It's the word of God that's in our mouth, because it came into our ear, our heart, and our mind through the Holy Spirit by the Scriptures. And any man that's speaking the authority of Scriptures is speaking the Word of God. And any woman that is teaching even the littlest of children the Scriptures, she's speaking for God, in God's stead. Her mouth is the voice of God. That's an incredible thing. It's a privilege. It's a conviction inside of the heart with fear and trembling. Scared to death unto misrepresented. Scared unto death not to obey it myself. I heard God speak. Where? How? It was in this verse. Don't you see what he said? If any man speak, is that an oracle of God? And so as we turn back into the book of John, our Lord Jesus Christ is whom we worship. And we worship him according to Scripture. And even when I can't explain it, I can't understand it, it's too big for my brain or any brain. I know it's what God said, so I believe it, I'm going to act upon it, I'm going to preach it in the light of every other verse in the Bible, and I'm going to make sure that the things I say are not contradicted by anything else in Scripture, not when they're properly interpreted. I'm a preacher for God's glory. That's an oracle. That's what God makes you. And this, sir, is the work of God. Not the work of man. But he works in a man unto will and to do of his good pleasure.
Let's go back into the book of John 1. Is there any questions on that so far? If you have questions, I want you to ask them. If anything is not clear, I want you to ask me to explain. I am not offended. I'm not easily offended if you have a question. If it's not clear, I will try harder to make it clear. If you're here to learn, and I'm here to help you, and each of us is helped. As we open up this word, we ask questions, we learn, and we get sincere. If you have been doing it wrong all of your days, I've been there too. I was a pastor. Well, I was an assistant pastor. I was on my way up in the religious chain. And then somebody told me the gospel in the pulpit. And even though I was not that far away, I was infinitely far away because I was still lost. I was still trusting in myself. And then when that gospel came and it stripped me of all my own righteousness, and I laid hold of his righteousness, his completed, his finished work, and I was saved. The power, the peace, the joy, it flooded my heart. And then I began to preach the truth. And the first time I walked into the pulpit, it was actually on a radio station. This is what I told them. I have been teaching you wrong. But I'm going to teach you the truth this night, no matter what happens unto me. And some people were actually saved. So if you're doing it wrong and you want to do it right now, that's called repentance, and that's a good thing. And this man, he receives sinners. He welcomes them. He embraces them. He loves them. He comforts them. He gives them everlasting life. A repentance. If I've been doing it wrong all of my days and I repent, that's much better than playing and pretending, right? Let's be repenters. Let's learn.
What does God say? So, in the book of John 1, Brother Moses, if you read from verse number 2 through 7, nice and slow, please.
John 1, verse 2. Through to 7. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him.
Heaven and earth.
And without him was not anything made that was made.
Even the angels.
In him was life. And the life was the light of men.
A spiritual life.
And that light shined in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not.
It's still that way.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe.
Amen, amen, amen. Is the darkness doesn't comprehend this gospel. As we're going to see in point number 3, it takes almighty amazing grace. This right here is point number 2. It was a man sent from where? His mom? Sent from the seminary. Sent from his church. Sent from his own ambition. I just want to be a preacher. Oh no. Oh no. All those were failures. All those are some rocks you can't lean on. It still crumble down in hard times. But this one rock, I've been sent by God. That's who sends and makes a preacher. That's who sends and makes a Christian. All Christians are made in the factory of God. And when God makes a preacher, it's in a special factory of preachers only. He makes us. It isn't our will. It isn't our ambition. It isn't our mom. It isn't our daddies driving us. It isn't the seminary that's stamped upon us and all of a sudden I'm sent and I'm filled. The Holy Spirit is not going to be looking at your seminary degree. Is the Holy Spirit is not going to be looking at if you took this seminar course. Ah, you took the course, you were here every day, I'm the Holy Spirit, I'm on you now. No, no, no. The man was sent by God. He was directly sent by God Almighty himself. Just like Ezekiel, just like Jonah, just like Moses, just like Paul. It's a sending that comes from God and not man. All that we can do is receive it, is recognize it, and go. Right? I acknowledge it. And for me, I resisted it. But I had no choice. Neither do you if you've been called by God. He will not take no for an answer. Right? But what was he sent to do? What was his mission? This man named John of the Baptizer, we call him. What was his mission? Ah, you got your eye on the text. That's smart. Because all you men were up here, is you're staring at me, you're lost. Is the answer is not on my forehead, it's in the text. I'm asking you from the text. His job was what? And so his job, he was to be a preacher and to stand up and to preach himself. No. I'm a great orator. I'm a great leader. I've got power. Oh, come to me. I will use the name of Jesus, but I'm drawing you unto me. Was that his job?
No.
That's a false prophet. If I please man, I'm not what?
His slave.
I'm not the slave of Christ.
If I've got any ambition in my mind at this moment but to preach Christ and bring you unto Christ, I'm not even serving Christ. Even if the words out of my mouth are Christ, 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 it's the motive out of my heart and it's my message. He was sent unto bear witness of the light. This great God whom we worship, our Lord Jesus Christ, He was sent, like me and you who have been called, sent like all Christians in measure. You see, all of us are His witnesses of the things that we have seen and heard, right? Every believer is a witness. Every believer is a testifier. Every believer prays for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Every child of God gives. But the ones He sends to be preachers have one ambition in their life. It's to hide themselves and preach Christ Jesus. You see it? It isn't His greatness. It's His greatness. It's not His power. It's His power. Oh, I got power. It was a man I was in Chalingo in November. And so he's pretending is he has power. And he has the people under a spell. So heartbreaking. And he has his microphone. He's blowing on them the power of the Holy Spirit, he says. That's doing nothing but preaching himself. And it's a lie. The Holy Spirit comes as me and you understand Christ, the gospel. It's Galatians chapter 3, verse number 2. Would somebody read that? How do you get the Holy Ghost? It isn't praying for, it's 100 hours of dry fasting. If you dry fast and you're not in the gospel, it profits you nothing. If you dry fast and you're trusting in the merit of your dry fasting and of your suffering, you're not trusting in the merit of Jesus Christ. I don't suffer who replace our Lord Jesus Christ. I suffer to see Christ more clearly. You hear me? I'm not fasting. Please hear me on this. This is a nation that fasts. In the USA, we eat up until we get big bellies. But I'm not fasting, my brothers, my sisters, in order to present my fasting unto God. Oh, look, Lord, I wept so much. I've shed tears. I've gone hungry. I fed the poor. I gave money. I paid tithe. Now bless me, Lord. Look what I've done and how I've suffered. That isn't enough. If the wages of sin was us crying and us not eating, Christ would not have come and died. The wages of sin, the satisfaction of justice, is in the blood shed on Calvary's tree. That is enough. That is sufficient. That has satisfied and pleased God. That offering was made, and the eternal God said, it's finished. He said, it's enough. And then the Father said, it's enough, when He raised Him up from the dead and presented Him on the throne in the highest glory. He's saying, that's what I think of think of my own son, his work. Sit thou at my right hand until all your foes are your footstool. That's the exaltation of Christ. Because his work, it was enough. And so when I'm fasting and you're fasting, it's hungering to see God's grace through Jesus Christ. I'm not bringing my own merit. I'm trying unto see his more clearly. Show me, open my eyes, open my soul. Let me see Christ. Bless me for Christ's sake. I need this. That's fasting. Is the true fast is in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 58. And so as I'm preaching, if I'm in a church, is I don't, you know, take all the, sir, please. Yes, please. If you read that also, please. It's Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. And what's it say?
Galatians 3, verse 2. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard?
Who can expound on that? What's that say? And so what is the work of the law?
Thou shalt not have whatever is said to be.
What the law say? The work of the law is everything I've just been saying about trying to be good enough. If I want to try to mourn enough. If I want to try to be holy enough in order to get God to bless me. Is that how the Spirit came?
No.
No. He and you were poor, helpless, and ruined sinners. And he reclaimed us as is through the work he accomplished. He forgave us. And so when you first came unto Christ, what righteousness did you have? Huh?
No.
You sure you had none?
No.
You sure? You and I were sinners. I had no righteousness. It was a filthy rag. All of us were as an unclean thing. It's the leper said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I don't have anything to give you. Whoever brought Christ anything for a miracle except need? Not money. Oh, Lord, I've been fasting years, years. Help me, help me. No, no, no. They only had a need. And faith in him. They looked to him. He did the work on the cross. And that makes him able to bless you. To bless you. It's a gift for sinners. It's a gift for evil beings. It's a gift for the unworthy. It's a man. If we're not going to be able to look there. Is a man was in Luke 7. And so all the Jews were saying, he's worthy. He built us a temple. And the Lord says, okay, I'm going to go see him. But the man sent his servant and said, don't come near me. I am not worthy that you should enter into my house. I'm not worthy even to come speak unto you. But you got power. Just speak the word. And the Lord Jesus said, I haven't found so great a in all Israel. The man who is unworthy but trust in me, the Lord Jesus says, that man's worthy of the blessing through what I've done on the cross. You see that? The unworthy is worthy. The unworthy is blessed. The unworthy is the sinner that hath obtained mercy. And our job as preachers is to point our people to Jesus Christ and get out of the way. Let them see him until their souls are free. Then the people will give, not just their money, but their life. It's the woman also in the book of Luke 7. Everyone knew that she was a sinner, right? But that is the one that's at the master's feet, and she's wiping his feet with her hair. Wasn't even wrapped up. What did the Lord Jesus say? It's because she is forgiven of much, she loves much. That's the gospel. The Holy Spirit, Brother Moses, did not come at the beginning because I was being good enough. And it never will. That's called being brought back unto bondage of the law. That, oh yes, you're saved by grace, but now that you're saved, you better straighten up if you want that Spirit of God. And out comes the whip. Alash! Alash! Straighten yourself! Alash! Alash! You're not good enough! Alash! Then the poor blind preacher is, you got to be like me if you want the blessing. Don't ever get a preacher like that. No, no, no. Don't be a preacher like that. That's hell bound. No, no, it's the same gospel. Keep looking unto Jesus. And loving and serving and be with him and walk with him. But all of your merit in the sight of God, all the time, is the blood of his son. That is the only way that me and you can have any peace with God. If you're trying to walk with God by being good enough, you're burdened and oppressed. But you come by the blood of his son, is you're free. And he's going to help you live a holy life. It's not a gift I give to earn something. It's a gift that he gives me for Christ's sake. And then he also is going to bless that. If he makes you holy, he will actually bless you in your holiness. If you love me, he says, obey me, and my Father and I, if we're going to come home with you, and we're going to make ourselves known unto you. But if you're obeying to be good enough, you're never going to make it, because this is a holy God. It took Adam only one sin to plunge the whole human race into a state of corruption and death and bondage. Even our babies die because of that one transgression. That's how holy God is. It must be perfect to be accepted. Thank God for the perfect sacrifice of Christ. Accept it and take it and receive it and believe it. Let's just turn quickly into the book of Isaiah, chapter number 58.
And I like verse one to read here, verse number 1-12. And we're going to make very few comments, but I want you to see as to what is the nature of a true fast. It's from 1-12, please.
I cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions.
And the transgression, let's see.
And the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness.
But they thought.
And forsake not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of judgment, of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted? Say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our souls? And thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the...
Let's just pause right there, please. That last verse right now is going to cause some of you in here some pain. It's going to cause you some pain because of the Holy Spirit, I trust, is going to apply it unto your conscience as with an understanding. And so your miserable hatred of God, your thinking in suspicion that he hasn't answered you, because after all, you've been doing all of this praying, all of this fasting, all of this denying of yourself, and he hasn't answered you, and you haven't gotten as to what you wanted. And so you're saying inside of your soul, and I have been there, I hate you, God, because is you're unfair and you're unfaithful, and I've tried as hard as I can, and I'm still miserable. I have no wife, I have no husband, I have no job, I have no children. I'm still miserable in this world. I'm still sick, I'm still aching, I'm still in pain, I'm still in heartbreak, I'm still in a horrible house, I'm in a horrible job, I'm in a horrible situation. Now, why is the heart of some of the people here actually saying that now? It's for two reasons. It's the one is in the text. It's the other one is in the book of John 6 and in just all over the Bible. One, if we're asking for things that he has not promised, we're going to be disappointed often if we think he owes it. He doesn't owe you and me health and wealth and earthly prosperity. Let me repeat that. He does not owe you and me health, wealth, and earthly prosperity, as the Apostle Paul. Lord, take this thorn away. I'm persecuted. I'm beaten. I've been shipwrecked. I'm hungry. I'm chased. I'm hated. Take away this thorn and I'll really serve you. No, 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 no. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is all you need. That pain, that thorn is going to help you to serve God. It will keep you humble and it will make us to lean on Christ Jesus. That's one thing. I'm asking things that haven't been promised. And if I don't get that, I think that he's unfaithful. That's wrong. That's wrong. As a younger man, it was this beautiful girl I met, loved her. And I waited for 5 years in my young prime. And the other girls were coming. But I thought if I asked anything in prayer
and if I believe, it shall be mine. And so I prayed and I believed until one day I was out fishing and I didn't catch any fish after praying. And this is a Christian, a preacher. And then when I went home sad and depressed and angry and filled with doubts, I realized, oh, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14 and 15 says, if we ask anything according to His will, His will. And if it isn't promised in the Bible, He may give it and He may not. It's not promised in Scripture. If I go out to fish, I'm going to catch fish. It's not promised. It's an unbeliever might be a better man at fishing and he catch fish. Even as he blasphemes God. He's a good fisherman. I'm in the wrong spot with the wrong bait. What's promised is a holy life, peace, joy, and power over sin. And the conviction of the Spirit in the gospel. Spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. That's our inheritance. But two, if you're miserable and you're praying and you're fasting, it's because you're presenting your prayer and your fasting in the nostrils of a holy God and He rejects it. You have to come by Jesus Christ. Or it's not accepted, is it? And there are so many scriptures. Hear me on this. Hear me, please. Hear me. Hear me. It's your own time. As you read from Malachi 1 and you read 1 John 1. If anyone say I haven't sinned, as to what is it? Is a liar. If I'm preaching right now, and I finish, oh man, Lord, did you see that sermon? Woo-wee! I was on fire today. Now you blessed me, Lord. I've been good preaching now. And so what's He going to be saying to me? That's not enough. In this sermon is sin. In this sermon, I haven't loved God perfectly. I haven't loved you equal unto myself yet. And if there's any sin in it, one drop, one evil thought as I'm preaching, any flesh in it at all, any pride, any lack of love, any lack of perfect faith like He had, it is not accepted on its own in the sight of God. It's by the merit of His shed blood alone. Then this preaching is accepted. It's the preaching of a son who loves God. And just like Mary, I was actually hidden. But it was actually through her womb came Christ. If we come by faith in His Son, He hides all of our sin. It was atoned at the cross. And He receives on the work and the love of His little child. That's why the Song of Solomon, it can say, there is no spot in you. You are all fair, my beloved. Ah, oh, your eyes are ravishing. It's the eyes of a dove. It's your lips are a scarlet. Ah, oh, your hips, your thighs. You're just lovely. He is looking at you through what Christ has done as a new creation. Completely justified and sanctified too. And your flesh is hidden out of the way by faith in Christ Jesus.
That's acceptance of God. So that text is in Isaiah chapter number 58, brother, yeah. If you keep reading.
Verse number 3. Wherefore have we fasted? Say thee, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exert all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the feast of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high.
It's another thing. As what he's also saying is this, is that you are as mean as a snake even while you're fasting. It hasn't presented itself in love towards people. I'm surprised, my brothers, about how mean and hateful some people are here in Nigeria in the name of religion. Oh, you frown at me? I'm gonna pray you die. I'm gonna spend all night fasting and praying that he kill you, because you got my promotion at work. I want you dead in the name of Christianity. And so if I'm fasting and praying and I'm worshiping and I'm in the church house and I'm as mean as a snake, what is it doing except exposing my hypocrisy and unbelief? How can he and you trust Christ and then be cruel? It's impossible. And so please keep reading.
It was a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a blemish, and to spread sackcloth and ash under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, and to loose the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke?
What's he talking about? As to what is the essence, as to what he's really saying, is the real fast. I mean, isn't you trying to earn anything? It isn't being mean to people as you act religious. What is it? If your soul is empty and barren, and you need God, and you want his blessing, or you want his peace, or you want his joy, or you may even be praying for something in this world. It could be a job, it could be a husband, it could be children, it could be health. You're praying and you're seeing the doctor, I hope. I hope you pray and go see your doctor. Yeah, you see your doctor? Anybody who tells you not to see the doctor is wrong. All the countries as to where they have the best health, they all go see the doctor. All of them. The average age of death in Nigeria is what? 56. Is the average age of death in, I think it's in Sweden, is up to 90. And as to which of the countries is more religious? Nigeria is the most religious country I've ever been to on earth. And it's an opportunity to preach the gospel. Is you have a privilege here. But there's so little gospel preaching. Mm-hmm. And it's all this hocus pocus. If you go see your doctor and pray and fast, as I was in a Sabbath, it was an older woman. She's a little bit heavy set. And so we went to preach at the prison, and then it was on the way back. It's a man said that it's his woman, is a member of his church, sick, and so he wants her to go see her. And I was exhausted, but I said, okay, let's go. So we get there, and the old woman is almost just, she can hardly move, and she can hardly speak, and she can hardly breathe. And so the people organize a big, you know, prayer meeting. They're doing this. I cast out, I bind, I declare this, that, and the other. I stood up after a while and said, has anybody taken her to see the doctor? It had not even crossed in their mind. If the woman had high blood pressure and some hypertension, if she goes until the doctor takes her medication, if she changes as to what she eats, if she walks and exercises, it will help her condition and she is going to live. If all that they did was pray, fast, and it's the incantations, I declare, I decree. I don't know as to who you're talking to if you say that. Right? If your son, if he approached you and said, I declare and I decree that I'm going to get this toy. What's going to happen is he's going to get this hand on his backside. So as we speak to Almighty God, we pray, we ask, we plead, we make supplications. It was only one man in the Bible that said, son, be still. Right? And the Lord, the scripture says, is he hearkening unto his voice? And the next word, he never hid it again. He has never hearkened unto a man's voice again since that day. Nobody commands God. You ask, you seek, you knock, you make your request known. And if it be the will of God, he will answer it. Because you're his child. Anything that's promised in spiritual life, in holiness, in power over sin, in joy, peace, comfort, he will give it. It's promise. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of promise. But I don't know if I'm going to have money. I don't know if I will be alive in the morning. Neither do you. But I don't care. And you shouldn't care either. Unto live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's the way that Paul lived. That's the gospel. It's spiritual. It's a kingdom that's not of this world. And it grants real peace. Because whatever happens, I'm content with it. Because it came from God. I can't change it. He's sovereign. And he loves me. And he's acted in all wisdom. Even when he was dealing with Job, it was in all wisdom. It was in all love. Why would he hurt his son Job so badly? Strip away everything he had except a bad wife. Health, his children, his money, his reputation, gone. Why? That me and you might talk about Job and be comforted. And if you and me could sit with him right now and have Job, he'd be saying, oh, I'm so glad that happened unto me. Look at all these people that have been blessed and have been comforted just by my story. I suffered so little, and he blessed so much. That's the attitude of Scripture. That's the attitude of the Christian. And what he's talking about is love. Here is it's a fast. If you sin, if I've sinned, and I've lost the presence of God, one, I'm to believe the gospel. The gospel doesn't change at our behavior. The blood was still shed. If the sins are still paid for, and we are already forgiven of all of our sins if we trust in Christ Jesus. If I've never trusted him before, I'm going to trust him right now. Two, even though the Holy Spirit has not comforted me, he's still with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Three, he is teaching me a lesson I deserve. I sin. I don't undeserve his presence. I'm not even worthy of it. But you know what I'm going to do? Is as I fast and pray until this presence of the Holy Spirit comes back with power, with joy, I'm going to love people because I know I've got God, even though I cannot actually enjoy him right now. That's the real spiritual fast. If your soul is in need, look to Christ. Make your request known. Plead with God. Pray with fasting. And then go love your neighbor up until you get it. That's trusting God. And that fast, he delights in. And if we kept reading, he'll hear your prayer. He loves his son. And he loves to see us trusting in Jesus Christ and him as a father. Isn't that right? If we properly open, you pastors and preachers, and properly understand the scriptures, and that's preaching in the power of the Spirit, is the Holy Spirit has come, and he's opened our eyes, our imagination, our understanding, to see Christ in the text, to properly interpret it, then to present it unto the people in plain language, just like me and you hear it from the scriptures. You see, the scriptures speak. If you're going to be in, you're welcome to come in. It's the scriptures speak unto us first, and then we preach Christ. And all we're doing is saying what we heard from God in the text. Is you seeing that? Let's go back, please, into the book of John in chapter number 1. Is I won't have another look at verse number 7. And then we're going to go into 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 13. Now, and so already based upon as to what has already been said, is there any questions so far? Is there anything that isn't clear? Sir.
I don't know the ground on which you spoke when you talked about like the instance you gave about a woman that was sick.
Yes.
we've had issues. I don't know if exhaustion. Because there are times where men, people are afflicted by demonic spirits and they are afflicted.
Okay, let me ask you a question. As to what is the only way to cast out a demon?
By the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit is going to work how?
Yeah.
How? If received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or was it by the hearing of faith? If that poor sinner, if they see Christ in the gospel by faith, that evil spirit has been cast out by the Son of God. Not by me and you. The Almighty Son of God has entered into the strong man's house, and he bound him and he cast him out. And he has sat down in his place now as the rightful king. That's how we cast out Satan. That's how we bind the devil. Please, sir. The scriptures are an illustration. When Abraham was rich, it doesn't mean that every believer is going to be rich. What is the blessing of Abraham?
It is
Christ Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Galatians 3, verse number 13, verse number 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law by being made a curse for us, that the promise of Abraham might come upon us, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, patience, faith, self-control. And my eyes are on Christ Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit for a holy life of joy and power. It's not money. It's the money. It was an illustration of a spiritual blessing. And when the apostles were casting out demons, it is a spiritual picture. Not that I'm going to go into the White House and cast out some demons, but that through the preaching of the gospel, is the sinner shall be made whole. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God. And so we'll have more time to deal with signs and wonders. And I want to be able to take us through Mark chapter number 16 and to look at it honestly and to see what the scripture says. Acts chapter 2 also. But not right now. If you be patient, it will come up soon. Okay? But the casting out of the devil is with the Holy Spirit's power through the what? Not just through the word of God. This is the word which by the what is the message that saves our soul? What's it called? The gospel. The gospel. The gospel. In our Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the gospel. If I'm preaching out of this word and I'm not preaching the gospel, there's only one other thing that I can be saying and be of God. And it's what? If I'm not preaching the gospel, there is only one other message I can be preaching and still be of God. It's in 1 Timothy 1, verse number 6 through 11.
First Timothy 1,
verse 6.
If you actually begin at verse number 3, please.
Verse number 3, First Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine.
No other doctrine. I do not have the right or the privilege unto teach my own doctrine. It's a pastor I heard about, is as what he says was that his calling of God is to raise up some millionaires. He says his calling from God is to raise up some millionaires. How convenient for his pockets and the ambitions of sinful men. That is not the ambition of anyone in this Bible. The Almighty God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. Not many mighty or called, not many noble. He does not have a mandate from God unto raise up some millionaires. Now, if he is a businessman and it's his goal is to make some other people rich, that's all great. That's great. It's a good ambition. But as a preacher, he is corrupting the word of God to feed our bellies. And to actually prey on our lust after money and other things besides Christ Jesus. That's not the message of the gospel. Am I right or wrong? It's not what Christ did. It's not what the apostles did. It's not what anybody did in the Bible. I cannot preach any other doctrine. Okay?
First number 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister
questions. I'm Ebo, I'm Hausa. Let's keep going.
Rather than godly
I'm American.
And fine, which is in faith so true.
Then you got to build people up in faith, in the faith of the gospel.
Verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity. Out of a pure heart.
Here is the end of all true preaching. Here is the goal of all true preaching. Here is what preaching is to produce. And so what is it?
Love. Charity out of a pure heart.
Out of a pure heart, with a clean conscience,
and of a good conscience, and of a faith unfeigned.
Exactly. The end of the preaching of this book is to make us to love people and to love God. Because our conscience is cleared by the precious blood. I know I'm accepted in the sight of God. All my sins are forgiven and I'm trusting in Him for real. Okay?
Verse 6. From which some having
swerved,
have turned aside unto vain jangling.
Empty talk.
Verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm.
It's not the gospel.
Verse 8, but we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully.
What's the lawful use of the law?
Verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man.
And the law, it will never make us righteous.
But for the
it will never make us any more righteous. I'm completely righteous in Christ. It will never make me live righteously. If you don't preach Christ in the scripture, I'm powerless and helpless. I have no help from God. That's what it's saying. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. All of it, from the beginning until we breathe our last breath,
from faith unto faith. All my growth is by the gospel. And the law is good. It's the only other thing I can preach from this Bible is either gospel or law. But the law is not supposed to, it cannot, it will not make anybody unto be righteous at all. If you're saved or unsaved, the law, it will never help you, because in the law is Christless preaching. But the law, it has a purpose. What's the purpose?
But for the lawless and disobedient.
That's right, it's for sinners. It's to expose our sin. It's to show us our evil. It's to show us how actually wrong we truly are. How far short we fall of the glory of God.
For the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of sons.
It's to strip us of all righteousness. It's to show us that we have sin. It's to actually show me as to what is sin. But it won't give me and you any power to perform it. If you keep reading, brother, please.
For the sexual immoral, for those practicing homosexuality.
Uh-huh. That's what the law's for.
For slave traders, mm-hmm, and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms.
What sound doctrine?
That conforms to the gospel concerning the glory.
There it is.
Of the blessed God.
There it is.
Which he entrusted to.
There it is. The only things that can be preached from the Bible and actually be called preaching the Word of God is if I'm preaching law to condemn and to show that all of us are sinners and fall short of His glory. Anything else I'm preaching in that Bible, it has to be gospel. If not, it's empty talk. Just empty talk. If you go to hear a preacher and he's not talking about Christ and finished work, if he's not pointing you unto Christ from that scripture in the finished work of the gospel, in the power of the Spirit, in the sufferings of Christ, in the things that he has earned, his salvation, which is a free gift, he's empty talking you. He's saying nothing profitable unto your soul. There is no blessing from God on that word at all. He's not speaking as an oracle of God. It's vain jangling. It's empty talk, my sister. Do you hear me? Very serious matter. I have to preach the gospel. As I'm analyzing my text, I'm looking for Jesus Christ. Every text, that text in Isaiah chapter number 58, it opened as we saw Jesus Christ. If you use it only as rules, okay, if you want to fast now, you have to give, you have to go pay tithe, you have to sow seed, you have to bring your neighbor in, you have to give away bread. That's just another form of legalism. But when the text is opened in the light of Christ, then now we see, oh, I got hope in God. And so I should go love people. He loves me. Even though he isn't actually with me in his presence, he loves me still. I'm going to go out and serve people by faith because I am forgiven, even though I cannot feel the joy of it. That's gospel. That's gospel. That's the opening of the text. All sermons are to be gospel preaching. And he's on text after text after text. He's on every page. So let's look again in the book of John 1, verse number 7. As I want to move on,
And I want to complete his point, and then we'll hit our last point. But in the book of John, chapter 1, verse number 7, is there any question? This man, oh, and also his Saturday, and for every Saturday, is a meeting, is it begins at noon, and instead of ending at 2, is we would like to end at 3. And the last hour is for questions and answers. Because of the lighting and as with the security, it's the other evening meetings, is we want to end on time. For Saturday, it's some extra time. If you have questions, if you head home and you read something, if you're pondering something, you heard something said, you don't see it, you write it down. If we don't have any time now, each Saturday. Okay? So, verse number 7, this man came for a witness unto bear witness of a light that all through him might believe. It's the purpose of our brother John the Baptist is to point the way unto Jesus Christ. And I want to use two scriptures. It's the book of Romans in chapter 1, verse number 1 through 4. And the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 13.
Romans chapter 1, verse 1.
Paul, the servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God.
Wait a minute. Paul, a servant, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel. That's his message. That's his duty. That's his life.
The gospel he promised beforehand.
Uh-huh.
Through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures.
It's in all the Holy Scriptures.
Regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David.
As a who is the gospel regarding? Who is the gospel about?
Jesus Christ.
Who should be preached in churches?
Jesus Christ.
Who do you listen for in the sermon?
Jesus Christ.
And it's gospel meaning it is some good news of the salvation of our soul by faith in his blood, which is a free gift. Okay? 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, verse number 13. What did Paul preach?
The gospel.
In verse number 2 of 1 Corinthians 2, he said, I determined not unto know anything among you except what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. The gospel. I was all about the gospel. I was obsessed with the gospel. Is our brother John the baptizer, is he was blessed? Why was he called the greatest of all the prophets? What's the main thing that he did that was just great?
He was the one who saw Christ and said, "This is Christ."
Behold the Lamb of God. Of all of the prophets, he had that privilege of pointing right at him and saying, that's the Lamb of God. That's preaching. That's what his life, it was all about. It's our entire life is to make other people see Christ. Now that is the life of every Christian. My sister, and so are you able to understand my language?
Yes.
Okay, it's fine. And I have a strange tongue here. I appreciate your patience. It's our life has only one purpose. What is it?
Christ.
For other people to see Christ. That's the reason that me and you, we live a holy life. It isn't trying to earn anything with God. That's not possible. It's been earned already by Jesus Christ's blood. But it's to help others to see Christ. If we live in order for other people to see Christ, as to what will the Holy Spirit do? He'll help us. If we're living in order to make people see us, as we preach Christ. So I'm preaching Christ, but I want the people to see me preaching Christ. What's the Holy Spirit going to do? He's going to oppress you. He's going to make you miserable. He's not going to show you Christ. He's going to convict you. And he's going to leave you depressed and ashamed. If we take the high seat in the wedding, there is somebody that is more worthy. His name is Christ Jesus. And he's going to come and say, you go over here in the corner. And with shame, me and you are going to take that seat. But if we take the very low seat, as Paul said, I'm less and the least of all the saints. He's not just saying that in an effort to act pious or act humble. He believes it in his heart. That of all of the Christians here on planet Earth, I'm less than the least because I know myself very well and I'm unworthy of my mercies and my positions. The Almighty God is going to use that person. It was a man named Timothy, and you can read about him in Philippians 2. The Apostle Paul said unto the church at Philippi, I hope unto send him unto you, because I have no man quite like Timothy that will from his heart actually care about you. It's for all men, and he's talking about Christian preachers who preach the true gospel, is all men seek what? Their own. Fame, name, is I want to be Mr. Big Shot. And you see, me is in the world, I was an athlete, played professional sports. I wanted to be the best, it's in my nature. And so when I came into Christ Jesus, because the flesh is not yet properly mortified, I still wanted to be a great preacher. And I spent 20 years of my life as I wandered in the wilderness, and he oppressed me and beat me down until I quit and said, Uncle, I only want the glory of Jesus Christ. And now the same Spirit of God, through the same message, is opening it up, is making it more clear. And the joy that's inside of my heart is greater. If we serve ourselves, the Almighty God will oppress you. Only by pride comes contention. He will have all of the glory unto go unto his Son, because he did all of the work, and salvation is by grace. If we serve him, he will lift us up. He will give us peace. He'll give us joy that we can't comprehend. He will actually give me and you power over sin if it is to bring him glory. If I want power over sin that other people say, wow, he's so holy. Oh, he is so holy. If that's why I'm asking for power over sin, he will let me fall. But if it's to bring glory unto him who saved my soul,
because I love him. I'm thankful. I want to honor him. He will give the power and pick you up and keep you from falling. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. We cannot hide from him. As our hearts are open in his sight, even our secret thoughts are screaming in his ears. There is no hiding from God. So open, honest confession. Lord, I'm proud and you know it. I'm self-seeking by nature. I'm a sinner by nature in this flesh. Help me keep this pride down. Make me able unto give Christ glory. Please, you give me a sincere heart. He'll do it. And then you and I, if we're going to be like John, this baptizer, is our purpose. It's the reason that me and you came into existence. It's to give him glory. It's to manifest that light. It's to preach Christ Jesus. And that is a pastor that is truly loved by his people. Because they know he's preaching Christ. And he doesn't want anything from them but God's glory to shine upon their faces. And those people, even though you'll have some hard times, even though if you're in an unbelieving church, you might get fired. If you're up in Niger, you might die. But as a rule, if you are a pastor with a good heart who loves your people, there will be people who love you back with the sincerity and joy of the Holy Spirit because their souls are set free. And they're not afraid of you. They can actually ask you on a portion of Scripture and get more clarity. This whole Papa syndrome of I'm just scared. Why would me and you, the free children of God, be scared of any man? The authority in the house of God is what? The Bible, the Word of God. And all of us are to worship him. And me and you are brothers and sisters. I just have a charge to come here and teach you. Is I have a calling to study and preach the gospel to help you. To study and preach the gospel to help other people. And if our life is about them and communion with him, our life, it will be full. It's our best life. I'm telling you as a fact of scripture and experience. This is it. This is the blessing. Filled with the Spirit, in communion with God, in love preaching the gospel, and every once in a while you get to see a person set free. Or you get to see them rejoice. Is you get to see them change. And your joy, as our brother John said in 1 John 1, is full. He said, I'm showing you this that our joy might be full. I want to be filled with joy by showing you Christ. And you're set free and you run yourself. Oh, look at him go. He's got the gospel. If you have children, is your happiest if your children are doing very well? Is you want your children to excel you? The same in ministry. If you really have some sons and some daughters in the faith, is you're not going to oppress them if you're in the faith of Christ Jesus. Is you're going to watch them run free. And you're going to help them and correct them and show them the gospel. And then when you see them walking uprightly, your soul is going to say, hallelujah, thank God. That a sinner like me can be redeemed and made useful. It's a wonder. It was old Onesimus. Is he used to be useless but now he is useful. That's me and you. I was a slave of sin, but now I'm a slave of Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing. That's gospel joy and usefulness and power. If we need 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 13, and we're out of time almost. That particular scripture verse is we're going to be looking at another time. It is our time is up. So I will. It's actually 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 13 is our last verse. Then we're going to be picking it up again in the book of John, chapter number 1. It'll be for tomorrow night. And verse number 12, verse number 13, it is extremely important. It is a new birth. It is not of God plus man. It is of God alone. And so we're going to be seeing that on the Lord willing tomorrow afternoon. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 13, and we have to stop here.
This is what we speak, not in words taught by us, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit.
Okay, let's just pause there. It's the preaching of the gospel, as I have been saying. It isn't in human wisdom. I'm not trying to preach in a way that will make me seem smart or spiritual or strong or anything at all. I'm preaching, if I'm preaching in the Holy Spirit, things that I see in the text that are taught unto me by God. It is still true as the Christian preacher stands up and he opens up his Bible, the Holy Spirit speaks through the word into his heart and mind with comfort and understanding. Right? Then, exactly as I hear it, exactly as it comes unto me, these are the exact words I'm using to speak them unto you. I'm doing nothing. I'm a conduit. I'm a pipe. I'm a glass. He is the water. He puts it in the glass. And he gives it by the Holy Spirit through the glass unto you for you to drink. And then when the water's out, if the glass is utterly useless, but it's a conduit, it's a means unto get you the gospel. And so the Holy Spirit is going to stand up a preacher. He will hear from God in the text and speak exactly what God says unto you. It isn't any changing of the word or any style points. This is me naturally. And when you preach, it will be you naturally. As you may be quiet, as you may scream, as you may sweat, as you may whisper, as you may use big words. But that's because as to when you hear it, it's with a big word. You hearing me? There are men that just in their nature speak with big words, especially men of the older days, as to where it was much more reading going on. So if a person like maybe Thomas Chalmers, if you read his writings, I'm an old preacher in England, he uses big words and complicated speech. But it was his natural self. And if you
As to what he's saying, it's profitable. If you went to hear Apollos preach, it would be eloquence. That's because he's eloquent. It was not because he's trying to be eloquent in order to appear impressive unto men. We speak what we receive from God. And if we're preaching like that, it's in the power of the Holy Ghost, it's totally natural, and your soul is at rest. I've learned after many years, the secret of preaching is for me to do nothing. It's Christ that's in that text, that's made known unto me, that I'm making known unto you. And in order to do this well, what do I need? I need to be in close of relationship with God. If you and I are preachers who depend entirely on the Holy Spirit, if he's not with me, my mind is confused and guilty. Abi? That means my whole life now is devoted to being an instrument of the Spirit of God. In work, in play, in study, with family, with friends, I'm conscious of this relationship with God because I don't want it to be broken or disturbed because, Ma, it's all I have. I don't have any strength. I don't have any joy. I don't have any peace at all except the Holy Spirit of God showing me Christ Jesus in the Scriptures. That's all that me and you have. Right? So now I'm a servant of the Holy Ghost. I'm a servant of the gospel. I'm a slave of Christ. I am living my life to be in relationship with God in closeness that I might at any moment look up to him in prayer, and I can know I have a quick relationship. You hear me. There are times, saints, as if we feel like he is so far away, right?
Yes.
That's what we hate more than anything in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And so our whole life is lived unto be in his bosom. Yes? That's why me and you obey. I love this fellowship. It's sweet. It's all I got. And so I have to be obedient. Right? And he has to give us the grace to live the Christian life. So one is confess your sins quickly. 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 Two, always rely on the blood of Christ. If you have a peaceful conscience, if you have a happy relationship with God, you're relying upon the precious blood of Jesus, and three is on the Holy Spirit. Don't trust in your own power, sir, to live the Christian life. It's impossible. But the devil is too strong for you and me, and he is too clever. And if we are relying on ourselves, he will beat us down and embarrass us just like Samson. I will think I can do it, and I have my eyes gouged out. So confess my sins, trust his blood, trust in the Holy Spirit, and obey him. And if you don't have his conscience presence, we already talked about Isaiah chapter number 58. I believe the gospel anyway as you see. If my last words are this, please don't live. It's as a Christian, and especially as a preacher, but just as a Christian,
don't live with any distance in between you and God. If you say, I'm not worthy of it, you are denying His gospel. The blood of Jesus has brought him near and made peace. Pray until you feel His peace inside of your heart. It's your inheritance. It was bought for you. It was earned by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is given by grace. The Almighty God takes pleasure in people who need Him. King David was exceedingly rich and wealthy and exceedingly powerful as a king, but he panted after God in a dry and a thirsty land. His soul was weary. I would rather spend one day in thy courts. I would rather be a doorkeeper in your house. I'd rather have the presence of God than anything in this world. Let me ask you a question in all sincerity. Is the presence of God, that joy, peace, and assurance, that confidence, near? I can speak in prayer and He's right here. Is that more important unto you, me, than anything in the world? You will have it, if it is, by the precious blood of Christ, by the power of the Spirit, and by the free grace of God. Keep your eyes on Christ Jesus, and you do what He says. That's what Sister Mary said, right? As to whatever He says do, you do it. If you follow Him. And He'll give you the Spirit, He'll give you peace, He'll give you joy, He'll give you the power over sins, and you'll stand up and preach with a clean conscience. How sweet it is. And you'll be going to bed and sleep very well at night. A clean conscience and peace is more than all of the riches in this world. Amen.
Amen.
Let's close in prayer. Would you please close us, please, brother?
Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your presence in our ministry. We thank you for how far you have led us. We appreciate you and give you all the glory in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we ask you, Lord, that this word we have heard will change us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
To the person you want us to be in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That this word will break arrogance in us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That this word will change our attitude to the attitude of Christ in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God, we ask, O Lord, that from this day henceforth and as we continue, may we begin to look like you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let our life be truly transformed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God, we thank you for your servants. We ask for more grace in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And we thank you for us that hear us. We ask for grace to be the doer of these words in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As we go to our own individually, we ask for your presence in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And we ask, O Lord, that the grace to meditate over this word, even as we lie tonight to sleep, Lord, give it unto us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus.
Blood of Jesus.
Our going back home, we cover it with the blood of Jesus.
Blood of Jesus.
Give us grace to be here early tomorrow in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Spirit of the living God.
Thank you, Jesus.
For in Jesus' most precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. So each of you, I appreciate you being here. Is my hostess is over there in the back. And I'm eating well over here, so I'm actually growing.
if the book is for free, and each person that's been registered here is going to receive a book, but you keep coming, as you keep coming, it will be given unto you for next week. Okay? And so the people here now, if you come Tuesday, or you come on Saturday, if you can't come, if you let me know, or you speak with either Brother Stephen or also with Brother Moses. But the people who come, if the book is helpful, it's the things I'm here preaching are here in this book as well. I'm also, beside that,